Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Hello, Daniel.
Good morning, Russell. Nice to have you back.
How good to be back with you. What is plain English, plain language?
Plain language just means that people can understand what you're writing or what you're saying or signing the first time they read it or hear it or see it. They can get it first time, clear as possible. And that means an absence of jargon. Like in linguistics, we have jargon, right? If I avoid saying certain things, like I don't say morphology, I say suffixes or the parts of words that have meaning. That way people get it. It means thinking about your audience, like who are you talking to? What do they already know? What are they going to need to know? And I'm sure that when you do an interview, Russell, you're always thinking about this. It's like, what's my audience? What's in the mind of my audience? Let me guess, right?
Yeah.
And then keeping sentences simple. I noticed that this pops up in government every once in a while. For example, the Plain Writing Act of 2010 in the USA required people to write in plain language. And I just want to give you a sentence from U.S. Representative Bruce Braley, who said this when the act was passed. Are you ready? The writing of documents in the standard vernacular English language will bolster and increase the accountability of government within America and will continue to more effectively save time and money in this country. Oh,
yeah.
We got problems.
Yeah, that's right. What should he have said?
Well, okay, we start off with the writing of documents. Whenever you say the verbing of noun, you got a problem, right? Because your sentence has to be about who's doing what. Somebody's doing a thing. Find it.
Yeah.
What is it? And then also it will bolster and increase. Okay, fine. What is standard vernacular English language? What does that mean? So here's what I did. I rewrote it. Here's what he said in plain language. If we write documents in plain English, we'll save time and money, and it will help government be more accountable. There you go. It's just I found the essence, and I put it out there.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And writers must particularly do this. You know, if they want their book to be a page turner, then they don't want to imagine their readers pausing, at the top of a second paragraph and scurrying off for a definition, right?
You know, sometimes people say, Daniel, what is this about, anything goes? And I say, I'm not about anything goes. I do have a rule given to me by Lane Green of The Economist, good friend of mine. He said, be clear. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Be clear. If you're not being clear, then you're making your audience go to more work, and that's not good. So use plain language and be good.
Daniel Midgley is with us, Speakeasy. Grant has called up to say hello. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, Grant.
Morning, Russell, Daniel. I'm fascinated with the way we change our pronunciation. And I've always been Grant. A lot of people call me Grant. And a lot of people say dance and dance. Mm-hmm. And in the media, we always used to say commander and data. And in the last few years, for some reason, it's gone from commander to commander.
Yep.
Data to data. And we never used to say that in Australia. I'm fascinated how come.
Something very interesting is I said, good morning, Grant, and Daniel said, hi, Grant.
Hey, Grant.
Yeah. So if you ever needed a better example of exactly what it is that you're talking about, what's the answer to Grant's query?
I love the letter A. You know, the word Australia has three A's and they're all pronounced differently. And in English, we do have a lot of vowels, and so we have a lot to choose from. So, for example, commander and commander. So, American English tends to focus on that the sound, whereas that tends to be moved over a little bit in British and Australian usage. I'm especially interested in dance and dance, because in some places it's just pronunciation, but in some places they refer to different things. You go to a dance, but when you're at the dance, you dance. I want to say that that's a South Australian usage, but I'm not completely certain about that. So the answer is that we have so many vowels in English, we get choices, we get to shift. Think back to the great English vowel shift of the 1400s, where things went from, you don't go for a ride, you go for a ride, where it was an E, and then it changed to an I. It changed to like jamming two vowels at once, which as in we do in data and data. So it's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to vowels, especially the ones represented by the letter A.
Mm-hmm. Grant, do you correct people, or are you comfortable with Grant and Grant?
Oh, no. Yeah. No. I've been fascinated with my whole life. But what my main question is, how come you, for example, Russell, have gone from data, and commander in the last couple of years?
Yeah. That's a really good question, and I think that's probably true. I probably have. I think I have. I say data now. I guess it's what I hear.
It is what you hear, and it's also kind of who you're talking to. You might speak a little bit differently when you're talking to me than when you talk to other people.
Maybe.
And when what we're talking about.
Yes. And that's part of the fight for plain language too, isn't it? Because it's about being understood, being wanted to be understood.
It's part of code switching. We're all good code switchers, and we're always shifting. Everybody speaks. Nobody speaks the same way all the time. We're always changing.
We've got lots and lots of good questions to get to, Daniel. Should we try and fire through some of these?
Let's do it.
In the newer is one from a couple of weeks ago. You have an update.
Ben, a Because Language listener who also heard us here, says, my family definitely says in the newer. I asked my mom, she wasn't sure where she picked it up, but said it's from her childhood. But my dad pointed to his father. No citations, but their backgrounds don't overlap that much, other than both being from WA. And both my grandfathers were educated by monks, so maybe it's a Catholic minced oath. You don't want to say manure because that's too rude, so you shorten it to noor. That was Ben's guess.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, good on you, Ben. When you ignore someone, why do we say they've been sent to Coventry?
This one came up last week, and I said I was going to look at it. Lady Godiva was sent to Coventry, or Peeping Tom was sent to Coventry for peeping at Lady Godiva. Mike says, sent to Coventry means to be ignored completely by a group of people. Correct. Geezer says, you were sent to Coventry to be hung, or is it hanged? Not sure. If you're sent to Coventry, you're ostracized. Probably has nothing to do with the Lady Godiva story, because that was like the 1050s, if that happened. And the story pops up in the phrase pops up in the 1600s. That's a long time for that to be burning underground without popping up in print. So the story probably is that in the English Civil War of 1640, if you were a royalist and you were captured in Birmingham, you got sent as a prisoner to Coventry, where they didn't like you very much and they wouldn't acknowledge you. So that's probably the origin here.
The host of Because Language podcast, Daniel Midgley, the linguist, is with us this morning for Speakeasy. Always beautiful to have Daniel in the studios. This I love because it's from Ashton, who's 14 and listens to us in Caranap. How come a singular skittle is called a skittle, but a singular Mentos is called a Mentos and not a Mentor?
I need to do some research here, Russell, so maybe you could help me on this.
Oh, yes, I'd love to.
I had two Snickers, but then I ate one. Now Snicker. I have only one.
Snicker.
You have a Snicker.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
No, hang on, one Snicker. Yeah, that's a good point.
Next one. I had two Twix, but then I ate one. Now I only have one.
Twix.
Got it. It's hard on the X, right?
Yeah.
The correct answer, Unix. No, not really. A twist. Now I have a twit. No, I'm just kidding.
Twick.
No, I'm just taking.
What would it here. Be? What would be the singular of Twix?
I think you might be right. I think it might be a Twix. Yeah. That conforms to my instincts,
yes.
Right?
And so
these are new words, and so we don't really have instincts on them, which is why this is such a cool area.
Yeah.
So the people who make Mentos, it's Perfetti in the Netherlands, they tell us that we should say it Mentos, not Mentos. And they say that Mentos is the singular and the plural version. It's not a Mentos without the S. But I say, get bent, Perfetti. I say things how I want. So the argument is that Mentos is just the name, that the S is not a plural. It's not actually a plural at all, and so a Mentos is just the name of one of them. Also, if you say it Mentos, then you could see lopping off that S and calling it a Mento.
Yeah.
Which seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Skittles is a little more simple. You know, we know what a Skittle is. Well, I don't know what a Skittle is. Do you know what a Skittle is?
No, I don't.
It's one of those candies, I guess. But isn't it like bowling where you knock them over or
a
something?
A Skittle. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I think.
Like the pins.
But this is more obviously plural. And so give me one Skittle. I still am working on M&M. Is it an M? Can I have an M, please? You mean an M&M? No, there's only one M on that, and I only want one. It's a rich area.
Thank you so much, Ashton. Where does the expression scot-free come from?
We don't have time to play. Darn. Okay. I will ask you, is there a relationship between scot-free and actual Scots, related or not?
I would think yes.
No. They are not related. We don't
know.
Dang. We don't know where the name Scots for the people comes from, but we do know that a Scot is a very old word from Old English. A Scot is a tax. And so if you got off scot-free, then you got off without paying any tax.
Oh, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Very old word.
But oh, wow.
We've lost it. It only survives in that one expression.
Is it from It's Got?
No, it's just a super, super old English word, and then the trail goes cold.
But, you know, it's got pain attached to it. It's tax.
We've got Scott in Scandi languages as well, so I'm guessing it's Norse.
No.
Yep.
Dan, it's fantastic, mate, to have you in here. Let's do it next week. We've got lots of questions.
We'll do a speed run next time.
Yeah.
And just bang through them.
And that's exactly what we'll do. Okay, then. So lots of your questions answered next Thursday morning. You have a podcast that's dropping today.
Yep, our new episode about the school of linguistic thought known as generativism. It's going to be, get your boots on. It's going to be good.
Great. See you next Thursday.
Thanks, Russell.
Daniel Midgley joining us, linguist and host of Because Language Podcast. Thank you for your questions.